Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast, drawn by Jackson. What's going on, Jackson?
Nothing much. I'm back in miserable Melbourne, Victoria. I'm doing all right.
And Aiden, you're back. You've been sitting on the sidelines for 2 weeks, but you're back. Welcome back.
No, it's been good. What do you mean miserable in Melbourne, Jack? It's like 38 degrees. It's hot, but like it's
still miserable.
Yeah, look, the clouds right now don't look that blue, but it's not that miserable.
Well, I still think it's better than Perth. We'll get into that discussion between Melbourne and Perth later.
That'll be an off-season topic to talk about.
Well, in reference of the open air, we'll get to it later. Maybe
old man yells at cloud situation going on here.
Maybe one of the rapid questions later. I don't know. But look, there's a bit to get through this week. A lot of action happened. I don't know how many games there were. There'd be about
12.
12 games.
There was a fair few.
There was a lot of games, so there's a lot to talk about this week. So we may as well jump right into it. And now we're not talking about games straight away, but I think the announcement this morning, the Rookie of the Year award has been changed to the NBL Next Generation Award. That's what it's being called. Basically, what happens is all players, including imports, including development players, must be under 25 come April 30 this year to be able to win the award. In years past, Rookie of the Year, it's obviously first pro year. Next stars could still win it in their first year, as we saw with LaMelo and Giddy. But imports could not win it. DPs could not win it. So it's very limited award. But look, these changes I'll get into it in a minute why I think this is a stupid decision. Some people are yelling hallelujah and saying there should be some other changes. But in general, I think this is one of the worst award changes in basketball history, if I can say that. But I want to know your guys' thoughts. We'll start off with you, Aiden, first. What are your thoughts on this change?
The concept is right. The ruling is crap. If that makes sense. The concept is a good concept of having everyone now included. But the age limit, it's now...
Yeah.
You know what? The award should just be called the Peter Julio Award because he's the one that came up with it.
Yeah.
Not because he was a young star, just because he was the one that was pushing for it. And but I think he'll even say that he didn't think it would be up to 25 years old. He wouldn't.
You know. No, it is way too high.
There's players that I could list right now that could win it, and they're not even close to it.
Yeah, well, I'll get into the previous winners. We'll make a post about it soon as well, but yeah. I'll talk about
Well, I reckon by the time this podcast comes out, the post will be already up.
Yeah. Hmm. Jackson, I want to know your thoughts on this award.
I do like the idea of it. However, I don't see the point in them removing the Rookie of the Year award for this one. Like, I don't see the point. It is... Yeah. Like, what they should have done in the first place is just make the Rookie of the Year award, you know, available to imports. Mm. Like, seriously, that was all they need to do. And it would have caused any confusion to go out the window because when... The most infamous example is when John Mooney signed. He was arguably the best rookie in the entire league. He was like a top five player, and yet he still was ineligible, while Justinian Jessup, who was first year out of college like him, was.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, I do like the idea with the whole DPs being added, but age limit's a bit too high, and, yeah, it's a bit confusing. But yeah, I like it, though.
The concept's good.
Yeah, the concept's good, but I think it should have still been maybe under 22 or, say, first year for local import and DP.
Just the execution of this now.
Maybe second year for a local. But I'm going to read you why it's stupid. All right. I'm gonna tell you guys, Aiden, you've done this, so
this is my homework.
You know about this.
Yes. This is you two have done very well with this, I must say.
So this will shock a lot of people. We'll make a post about it, and this is why I'm outraged about it. Because
by the time the podcast is released, this would be already out.
But the last Winners from 2014. Should we start from this year or from?
No, let's start from Tom Jervis. Let's go from Tom Jervis
year. 2014. So the year Tom Jervis won Rookie of the Year. The winner, if the Next Generation Award was in place, it would have been James Ennis, right?
Same team.
He probably, probably should have won MVP that year. I mean, he came second.
Yeah, he was robbed of MVP because of the stupid 3-2-1 voting system.
Yeah, but James Ennis, he was, I believe he was 24 at the time. He would have won that award. All right, let's go to the...
I don't think he was even 20. He had a lot of years.
I think he was young. I think he was first year out of college. So
he was first
sense.
Year out of college. Yeah, he was drafted by Miami.
But yeah, anyway, 2015... Brock Modem, is that right? And you had Brock Modem in there.
Brock Modem.
Over, who was it over?
Who was
that
it?
Jervis?
Brant? Was it Brant? No, it was Brant. I think it was Brant.
Yeah, Angus Brant. It was Angus Brant. So Brock Modem, impact. He was marquee level player for the 36ers that year, and he went on to have a really good European career after that.
It
so
still is having a
Brock
good career.
Brock Modem would have won that award. The next year, 2016, I believe, Casey Prather. Would have won this award. I think it's his first year at the Wildcats, or maybe second.
Yeah, it was.
But he would have won this award quite comfortably. Nick Hay won the Rookie of the Year that year. So you think about it, Nick
Hay. I wouldn't say comfortably. There was a Miami United guy that I put in it.
Stephen Holt, yeah.
He had an all right numbers.
Yeah, but I'd say Casey Prather. I think they won the championship that year too. So, but you look at it, you're taking away Rookie of the Year from Angus Brant now, Nick Hay. Guys that went on to have great careers for the NBL, and they were true rookies, true
guess
young
what?
Guys.
They all ended up in Perth anyway.
Yeah, funny. But next year, 2017, this is one, boys. And this is a huge difference. Anthony Drimmich won it this year, Rookie of the Year. Right?
Look, we're not taking anything away from the rookie.
Oh, yeah,
We're not.
He averaged 5 points, 3 rebounds, right? But who would have won the Next Gen Award had it been placed that year? None other than the GOAT import of Bryce Cotton, eh? Right?
And it played like 12 games.
Even if he played halfway through the season, I think he would have won that award.
Yeah.
Simply because he was unreal. Yeah. So Bryce Cotton would have won that award. So we've had three imports so far in a local. Next year, we had Pierron Buford would have won that. He was a great import for Brisbane at the time. I think
who won rookie?
Isaac Humphries.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He went on. To have a great couple games in the NBA.
Yeah, we're not dissing the current rookie.
No, I'm just saying. What I'm trying to make a point is you're taking away a true Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yes, exactly.
It's like going on to is shown a start of their career, and then that's a Rookie of the Year for me, not Pierron Buford. That's not that. When you think about it, that's the young generation or next gen, whatever they want to call it. That's the award you're giving it to over Isaac Humphries. That just doesn't sit right with me.
Stupid because it's the first year of an import. Like Bryce Cotton had played overseas in the NBA before that as well.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't like a guy like him. If it's a guy like Barry Brown this year, if he was to win.
I think I understand. Yeah. I think I understand stupid. Like first year import, they're straight out of college like Manick and Mooney. But then again, you look at the previous years, it's James Ennis.
James Ennis was first year.
Yeah. James Ennis was another one as well. It's like, are those guys really Rookie of the Year? I mean, yes, they're first year out of college, but then again, they're coming in as star imports and they're not, they're guys that can win MVP and Rookie of the Year. Just doesn't sit right with me at all. The next year after that was Mello Trimble. He came in pretty young in that Cairns Taipans year. He would have won it over Harry Froling, who won Rookie of the Year that year.
Another Adelaide player.
Was Trimble also first year out of college?
No, I think he had...
No, I think he played somewhere before. I'm not too sure. I think he played at G League before that.
Right.
The year after this is 2019-20. Cam Oliver won this award.
Would have
over LaMelo Ball. I mean, they probably would have given it to LaMelo Ball because it's LaMelo Ball, but
and it's marketing.
Yeah, but
I know they would have been joint winners then. Those two,
LaMelo Ball wouldn't have been a winner. Wouldn't have been an award winner.
He would have been in the same stratosphere as Cam Oliver.
And Jay Sean Tate was eligible that year too. So he might not have been top three LaMelo Ball in that year. You got it. Then the year after,
no, LaMelo would have been because all three
Josh Giddey wouldn't have won Rookie of the Year, and this wasn't one that has. I think this year with John Mooney could have won it. We would have won it in this scenario, but this was the year where people started thinking, maybe we do need to change Rookie of the Year. We should allow guys like John Mooney to win it, as you just stated before, Jackson. But I don't know. It still doesn't sit right with me. I don't know if, how you guys feel.
Well, that year was Jack White got injured, DJ Vucevic got injured, and then it was just...
That rookie draft, that rookie class was stacked because you also had, like, Yannick Wetzel and, you know, the DP conversation because of Isaiah Liafa and all those other guys.
That was a good rookie year if we had ever had one.
It was probably the best we've had in a long time.
But would you rather Josh Giddey take home the award? Would you rather Josh Giddey and LaMelo Ball take home the award or John Mooney and Kevin Love?
I mean, they're both at triple-double-ish numbers. Like,
yeah, but in marketing terms and in general, a true rookie of the year, you know, when you think about this award, would you rather a John Mooney, Cam Oliver player winning it or a Josh Giddey, LaMelo Ball?
Well, yeah, like we said about Impact, those both made finals. Cairns made finals, Sydney made finals, Jason Tate's sake, and then Mooney made finals in Perth. Those other guys
didn't make Jackson, finals. What do you think about this?
I'm fine if it's a first-year guy out of college as an import, like a Mooney or an Ennis or...
Not a Bryce Cotton.
Somebody else. Cotton wasn't first year.
That's what I mean. Cotton had like...
Not those younger imports. So like, let's say if Craig Randall stayed the entire season, right? He would still be eligible for this, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Right?
No, you're not wrong.
I think he's a bit older.
Yeah, but like he still would have been reasonably close.
Yeah.
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 Will McDowell-White is actually 15 days off this award.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Humphries is still eligible for this award. He could win it again if he wanted to.
I don't think he is. I think he's a bit older. But last year as well would have been Jessup or Besson over Quall. So in some scenarios, it does kind of make sense. Yes, they are next generation players. But then you look at years where it's like Cam Oliver winning, Melo Trimble winning over Harry Froehling and
Bryce Cotton
winning over. Yeah, you look at that and it's just the last... It's been all... You look at it more here... The last, since 2014, all of those guys were imports except Modem. You know, they're all star players, best players on their roster, guys that are capable of winning MVP, you know? All of those guys were in MVP contention that we just mentioned. And same goes with this year in Sam Froehling. It doesn't sit right that these guys should be in MVP and Rookie of the Year contention at the same time, unless they're a LaMelo Ball, you know, or Josh Giddey once in a generation.
I think I've just come up with a solution for this entire thing.
Go on.
You keep the Rookie of the Year, yet you make a next generation team. Five guys.
Ooh.
And you give it out equally.
Bang.
Is that a hot take already?
That's how you do it. No, I don't think that's a hot take.
It'd work much better.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be fairer on every player. Because now Wardenburg... He was going to have it all year. Now it's given to Sam Froehling, who's in his third year at the Hawks. I think third or fourth year. Is he his
fourth year? Because I think he was DP.
And the more crazy thing is, he'll probably win it next year as well because he's still 22. So he'll win it in his fifth pro career. And a guy that's coming in next year, maybe like a Flynn Cameron or something, can't win Rookie of the Year. So it's stupid.
Like, we're not dissing any of these players.
No, but Sam Froehling could be a top five in MVP next year and win this award comfortably. It's ridiculous. But
I want to know the brains behind this award, to be perfect.
Yeah, it's a bit silly. I think they need to change it a day after they've made it straight away because it's a bit silly. But that post will be out soon and we'll see what more people think about it. But I just think...
I can see someone clarifying the rule for us. Someone's like, oh, that's not actually how it was meant to work. I'm like, well...
It's
a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess, but we move on. Let's talk about Savvy's Melbourne. Let's go into the games. You wanted to talk about the Phoenix first, Dan. I mean, you were at the game last night, State Basketball Center. Packed crowd there, 3,500 there. It's good to get...
Good atmosphere.
Good to get them back at the Heartland. But that's a game you got to win. Well, especially at this time of the season.
It's the second last that they... I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, like, this is a game you win. Brisbane out of form. We haven't talked about that first game against Sydney. I don't think we need to. But Brisbane are just like, come on. They are in terrible form at the moment.
Three games.
They're not a basketball team at the moment. And that's a home game. You don't get those Heartland games every often.
Brisbane. They've already played three games in a week.
Exactly. It was their third game in the round. And that was Phoenix's first game. They brought back the import backcourt. And they lose that game. That's the game you just cannot lose. And I think after that, that's five. They've lost five in a row now, which is crazy to think. But I think that could be it for them. Aiden, what do you think?
It was no chemistry last night. I tell you that. It was no cohesion. Like, Brisbane were due for a win. I just don't think it was going to happen yesterday. Like, I feel
it shouldn't have.
I feel like their win would have been against United, if anything. Like, that when they had all that momentum, was their due win. But then they fumbled that one. Yeah, that was a little messy. Like, the players were just not hitting anything, and Brisbane just capitalized on turnovers and made their shots. Like, Kadee could hit.
Kadee went off 28 points.
Yeah, Kadee just hit anything he
Vintage
wanted.
Vintage Kadee.
I reckon Brisbane looked better with Froling and Harrison on the court than just Baines, solid, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
I think Baines is a bit of, not a liability, but he causes defense to play. Like, his elbows are going to get him in trouble early.
Yeah. He had four fouls in 10 minutes.
And didn't play that last quarter.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Maybe they look better without him.
To an extent, like, depending on the matchup, like against Phoenix, yes, against maybe United, no, Marcus Lynn, yeah.
I mean, Jackson, we talked about this last week. We're going through our tips and we said we skipped past this last week.
Yeah, we did, we did actually.
And then I said Monday, South East Melbourne, Brisbane, that will do for the end of the podcast, not knowing that Brisbane actually would win this game.
Look, you guys can say that you're going for Brisbane and just not tell the world who you actually were going for.
Jackson, what are your thoughts on the Phoenix right now? They lost five in a row. They did bring back the import duo this week, but God, where do they go from here?
Not into finals, I'll say that. Or at least playing or whatever you want to call it. They looked shot. Like, did Brokoff also get a little tweak or something?
Nah,
he
got
game.
Back on. He was only that everyone's overreacting to the media. That was
right.
He
okay.
got back on. He played the last goal.
Good. I only watched the second half, so
nah.
I don't
half,
know
the
full
first
story.
Quarter looked good. The second quarter was shocking. The third, they bounced back, and then the fourth, I don't even know why.
Yeah. So, look, they need some help. It's not like you can cut a guy and sign somebody now.
Well, you can't do that. You're not John Brown, and you're not.
Yeah.
All they can do is hope Jochi comes back and plays like he did for the Chinese team.
The thing is, it's going to be isolation rules of that as well.
I've got some stats up here for my hot take later, and it's from the 9th of December onwards of averages.
Yep.
And Mitch Creek, since that, not including, I want to say, last night's game, because it only says 8 games played, he is averaging 27.5 points. And the next best player for them is Williams, averaging 15. And then there's a bit more daylight between him and the next guy. Like, you can't be relying on those guys so much.
That doesn't help when Brown goes down, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, with that game, because Brown didn't play much after that, and then Kale as well. But I'm not saying it's an excuse, but they would have eased the load a little.
Now, can we talk about that last play by Brown when he went to the line?
Yeah.
Right. So when I saw that, I was getting flashbacks to Blanchfield's bricked free throw kick out to Webster, but he airballed it. Like,
no, he hit the top.
No, wait. That was the one he traveled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I reckon he had his feet planted.
Right.
I was on the sideline on that sideline. I don't reckon he did, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have the view of a replay to see if it actually happened, but
yeah.
My angle, I thought he was clean. He should have made the second and then missed the third.
Like, Brokoff missed a couple threes at the end, which he should be hitting because that's his job. And they had so many opportunities for Brisbane
the sarcasm
just
that. That's his
up.
Job.
Like, they really should have won that game, and they didn't. So
they always have good first quarters. I don't know what happens afterwards.
I want to ask you guys, is Simon Mitchell's job at jeopardy by the end of the season? If they don't make the plans, is his job
100%
like
in the firing line.
Well, that's why he's only got one new deal. You would think so.
Is he contracted for next year?
No.
I think it's an option, right?
It's a club option.
Yeah.
It was mainly a 1 year.
Yeah, that's quite concerning for me. I think if they don't,
but you can't fire him now. There's no point.
No, not now. Obviously not now. But if they don't make a plan,
I'm just saying that everyone thinks they should fire him now.
There's 4 games left in the season. Yeah, exactly.
There's no point. Regardless of
it. Yeah, if they don't make the play-in, I mean, yes, you can blame injuries throughout the season and the likes, but you know,
you can blame the injuries for like the last month, but not.
Yeah. And they should have made the finals last year as well. And you look at a team like Cairns, it's like, should Phoenix have lost the last? You look at Cairns, they've won the last 6 in a row without their best player. Whereas the Phoenix,
Phoenix beat Brisbane without Source, just Mitch Creek and a bunch of bench players.
Yeah, but they
lost to them yesterday.
That's what I mean. So, that's what I don't get. That's what I'm like. They had an 8-day break.
They're on a 5-game losing streak. You look at Cairns, they're on a 6-game win streak without their best player. So
they've got
You look at their next 4 now, Phoenix. It's really tough. Tassie and Tassie, Perth, Cairns, both at the State Basketball Centre, and then Sydney and Sydney. Those are all really, really hard games.
And then they don't play in the last round. They have to wait for everything else to happen to see their fate.
I think
it'll be Tassie, their fate, I reckon. If they beat Tassie tomorrow and then Tassie loses, because Tassie's got a lot of tough run.
It's got to be a really tough challenge now. And I think Simon Mitchell may be on the cutting block by the end of the season. Unfortunately, that's how it is.
Watch him somehow make finals,
They'll make finals now because of what we're saying.
Exactly. We'll just quiet it down. Next team. The finals are Bars team.
Let's keep the negatives going, why don't we? The Adelaide 36ers, terrible round for them. Did they play 3 times or twice? They played twice. Not a good round for them. And, you know, they look wildly different. I know they made that import change of Randall and Clark, but they look wildly different from a team that beat an NBA side to a team that is probably likely to finish 8th this season now. I mean, those 2 games, they should have at least split them, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They lose to Tassie quite convincingly. They you could even say they got.
They were in that game though too at one stage. Like they were
at one stage, but near the end it was just so lopsided.
They didn't go to Franks enough. Franks was hitting everything.
Yeah, Tassie ended up winning by 16, and their other game they got absolutely demolished. I was so looking forward to this game, you know, open roof, 2 teams really in contention for the finals, you know, great rivalry, and the Adelaide put up that shocking performance. They give up 112 points and they lose, they lose by 15, but
that's because JR brought on the bench.
Yeah, Cleveland hit about 10 points in a row because they
in junk time. It.
Yeah, so realistically, it was pretty much a 30 point shellacking, and it was not bright. Jackson, what do you were keeping?
I wasn't at that game. It was the other one.
All right, but what did you think of Adelaide's performance against Perth specifically, and thoughts on Adelaide?
So, watching at least the first half, besides Robert Franks, Adelaide shot 0 of 13 from the 3-point line in the first half, while Perth and Brady Manick was dropping down literally everything under the sun. So I was like, okay, maybe because it's open roof.
I like
maybe
that.
It'll change. Maybe
I like that for you.
Maybe they have some chance of coming back here. And then Brady Manick continues to hit shots at the other end while nobody hits shots for Adelaide.
Yeah.
And it was ugly to see because Adelaide is a team that relies so much on the 3-point shot, particularly with their big men in Franks and Johnson and, you know, new import in Clark. Like they really rely on that when they should be going inside so much more.
Yeah.
And they were just manhandled by, like, every single starter for Perth besides Ty Webster had over 15 points or 15 or more. And they only played 20, 25 minutes. And, like, Ty had, like, 10 and 7 assists. Like, it wasn't a good watch. And the only reason why Perth didn't win by more was that, and totally fair to really, I think he made the right call, was to bring on the bench at the time he did. Not sure it was the right bench five, though, but it was a, like, Cleveland put up 10, 12 points.
Yeah, at the end there. And who's to blame? I know we probably shouldn't be pointing the finger and throwing the blame, but is it CJ Bruton's fault? I mean, this squad is stacked. They got McCarron. They got probably they should have the best import trio in the league in Clark, Cleveland, and Franks. They also got DJ, Kai Sotto, who's a great player as well. Is CJ Bruton the blame, you reckon, Ed?
No, I reckon it's both. I'm looking at the stat line. McCarron's the only one of all the locals that scored over 10. Like, a guy like Sonny Dech has completely dipped off.
I feel like not enough people are talking about Sonny Dech, and he hasn't been as big as an impact as I thought he would be this season for Adelaide coming off the bench.
I wouldn't blame CJ. I reckon he's trying to get the best out of them. They're not buying in, but it's the looks of things. And with the documentary, the little snippet of that doco that came out a few weeks ago, well, probably a month now. I don't know. I reckon it's the players not buying in. They don't seem like they're buying in to what CJ's saying. Like, I feel like they're just flogging them off. Like, they don't give a crap.
Right. Do you agree with that, Jackson?
No, I actually think it's Grant Kelly.
All right.
I thought you were going to put in something else, but we weren't mentioned that.
Right. So, do you guys know that he's probably sold the team?
Has he?
Is he doing a JVG?
There's been rumors that he sold the team for a while, or at least a large portion of it. And recently, there's been, not recently now, but like a month ago, 2 months ago, there was a whole bunch of stuff about sexual assault charges and all this other stuff going on in the background.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if that's gone to the players' heads or something or other, and they're not buying in. But, like, that, I mean, that's just a very minor thing on the side.
I don't think that plays a factor
but
at all.
But, like, something going on there, and I'm not sure what.
This reminds me of Perth last year, in a way. Not in terms of off-field stuff, just how they're playing and how they're performing.
I disagree with Jackson. That has nothing to do with it at all. I think it's mainly the fact that it's
the buy-in.
Yeah, it's the buy-in from the group. There's no chemistry within them.
Didn't make a difference, to be perfectly honest.
You know, when they're
hasn't at the moment.
Like, he's been good, but there hasn't been a difference in terms of leadership.
They lose focus. I mean, you look at that game against Cairns a couple of weeks ago. They were up by 19, and they just, like, they're out.
That's a game they're going to regret the most.
They're up by 19 with 4 minutes left, and they're. The attitude there was like, oh, we've won this, you know, game's over.
Cairns might not be on a winning streak. Well, it probably wouldn't be.
Cairns' mindset is
obvious, but like, if Cairns didn't win, their mindset might have been.
Cairns' mindset was, we're still in this, doesn't matter, let's just keep going for it. They end up winning that game in Adelaide. Their motivation going into the rest of the season has dipped because of those last 4 minutes, whereas Cairns are now on a 6-game streak right now, and just little, like, 4 minutes of the NBL can change a season like that. And
not in 4 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And if Adelaide were in a similar position, they were down by 19 in the fourth quarter, they're not a team that would have come back in that scenario. And that's the difference between Cairns being second on the table right now and Adelaide eighth right now.
I'm ruling the line down, Adelaide.
No continued motivation throughout the game. And it'd be interesting to see. I mean, they're just so stacked this year. Everyone was predicting them to be the best team in the league. But they said championship or bust, Aiden. So, don't know if they bust next year, that everyone leaves again. But yeah, it's, I don't know.
We did say Adelaide was in top two, and look at this. It's
well, look who said Sydney first. Me.
All right.
Can we get the mark out and cut them out from the top six, or are we still having Adelaide?
Adelaide.
They play
Melbourne twice. They have to beat Melbourne twice.
Well, I feel like it's between Adelaide and Melbourne feet for the last one.
Yeah. Well, that's Perth, obvious Perth can still drop out.
No, I've got Perth. Perth's making it. That's a well, boys will make.
Look, if they play Brisbane on Thursday, if they lose to Brisbane,
season's over.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, they're
hanging on to.
They have to beat Melbourne twice. And you look, they play Cairns and Sydney.
They don't have any injuries too. That's the thing. That's what I don't get.
They have to beat Melbourne twice realistically to make it. So I don't think they will, because we're talking about Melbourne United now, who is on a good streak.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're talking about Melbourne United. I don't know if they're on a, are they on a win streak right now?
Yeah, they are. I think
they're looking at 4 or 5 games. Let me check. They might have lost one in between.
We should know this. We should be professionals here, but. Either way, they are in some really fine form at the moment, and I mean that the way
they're on a four-game win streak.
I was right the first time. Yes.
Sorry, guys. But that win against New Zealand was huge. I know New Zealand.
That was the one I needed to take.
Yeah, I know New Zealand didn't have Barry Brown at the at that game, but
and they were coming back from Perth.
I mean, they didn't have the lights as well.
You factored that in, but. They held New Zealand at 65 points, and United only scored 77 themselves.
That was
but
one of the most low-scoring games.
Yeah, United.
It was a tough watch at times.
Exactly,
it was, but
not because of the lights.
They still managed to comfortably. I would say they still comfortably won that game, and they just look so much better with Marcus Lee in his squad. I mean, we talked about it like halfway through the year. It's just like there's no Shaili. They're not going to win games without Shaili. It's as simple as that. And people are saying it's
and
not
going to find God
one
as
player's
well.
Not going to make a difference. Well, looky here, Shaili has dramatically changed the defensive end of this team, and offensively as well. They needed that true point guard. Rafa Mays, he's a great player, and he's been great throughout the season, but he's not a true point guard that, you know, necessarily helps win games. And, you know, you bring Shaili in, and that's changed dramatically in the last few games. And they've played Brisbane twice in those last four wins.
They nearly gave that game away.
They did. But you specifically look at that game against Tassie and New Zealand, and, you know, they're a team that are now sitting sixth thanks to Phoenix loss. And they're a team that is more than likely to make the play now due to their late season form. And you know what they say, if late season form, late season form helps you more going into the season, going into the finals than anything. So, Jackson, what do you think of United right now?
They're doing exceptionally well considering they only have one centre in their team. Like one true centre, and I'm not counting Peatling and Aquarez, those guys.
Yeah, with Humphreys out, yeah.
Yeah, with Humphreys out, they're only playing Marcus Lee,
and Barlow out.
Who is like first in both offensive and defensive rating. It is absurd.
Yeah.
And like he's just turned this team. Like, yes, it's taken a while because it always does with new imports coming into teams, and hopefully Adelaide can do that with Ian Clark. but they've been doing really well. Golding has been averaging almost 20 points a game over the past 9 games.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, he's taking more shots. They're involving him more in the offense. Rajon Tucker is a top 7 scorer in the league in their last 9 games, last 10 games. Like he is incredible. And then XRM off the bench has been showing something to us, which he hasn't shown in a while since Ely's come back. And it's just working really well with their rotations. And like Brad Newley, didn't he have like, you know, some good score against, was the Breakers or?
I think it was Breakers. Yeah, he had about 14.
Yeah. Like they're clicking at the moment, and whoever wins that 2-game series against the 36ers and United, like, you know, they're in. So
yeah.
It'd be really interesting to watch. If you're not going to watch any other games for the rest of the NBL season, watch those games because it will make the ladder really interesting.
And I think United will win both of those, in my opinion, the way they are at the moment and the way Adelaide is. And that will mean United will make the plan. So they're in great form.
United now. He's just giving
put the curse on everyone, mate.
You've given him the
homicide kiss of death.
You said both, not just one, both. You've given him the biggest. Nah, they're gonna lose both now.
Jeez. All right. Let's finish off the games with the Breakers.
By the way, Shea gets Goldie more shots. I'm gonna say that. Shea gives
Chris
more shots.
That's what they were missing.
Yeah. Talking about the Breakers as well, as they played United in that game, they didn't have the best of rounds, and I think that's because of Barry Brown. They did lose three.
They lost round. All three games this round.
That is not good for a team that is, you know,
that Perth game was the only good game they looked at.
And now they're not even a lock for play-in now.
Yeah, they are. Like it's
very scary for them.
They'll make it. Yeah. Let's be real.
I know that they'll make it, but like they're one game off Tassie in fourth, and there's still a real chance.
Is this because of Barry Brown? With that game against Perth, when the game time he was playing in, it looked like he was a factor in that loss. I guess a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad shots taken against Perth, but
he just wasn't shooting the ball.
Those two games, that game against Melbourne, they scored 65 points. They missed him dearly in that match, and then they, the other game they lost to the Taipans by 2 points at home. I mean, yes, that's a tough game, but then again, had Barry Brown been playing.
Fight back as well in that Taipans game too.
Do you think the reasoning behind the last three games has been Barry Brown?
It's been Pardon.
No.
Pardon's been the issue.
Lee really?
Lee took out Pardon out of the game against Melbourne.
That's true, yep.
And then Pardon and Thomas, you know, Pardon was the better player
was
in
good.
That game.
No, Pardon was good against Perth, but the other two games, Pardon was nowhere.
Yeah.
Like Pardon got taken out of the game by
Warnberg
Slade,
as well.
And then Warnberg.
Yeah.
Warnberg dominated in that
game.
Which
I was surprised, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
So I thought Pardon would use his size a bit. Like, I know Warnberg's big, but like Pardon, in terms of experience, should have destroyed Warnberg.
Once you take Pardon out of the paint, it becomes an issue because
once you've bossed him out, you're fine.
Yeah.
Jackson, what do you think about the Breakers?
Look, they'll still make top six at least. They're not dropping
top
below
four
that.
For me.
Top four for you? Like,
if they don't make it, and they're both Melbourne teams didn't make it. What the frick is wrong with this league?
The thing with the play-in now, the thing with the play-in now is that, you know,
if you finish fifth or sixth,
yeah,
you got to have to win two games to make the finals. Whereas you're third or fourth, you can lose a game, win one, and still make finals.
It's like a tiered system, though. So it's like one and two, that's one tier. Three and four, that's another tier. And then five and six, that's another tier. And Breakers are leaning right in between that.
Tier
two and three at the moment. Yeah. Like, I think Cairns are too far gone now for them to be top two. And, they do have, on paper, the easiest schedule coming up. However, Illawarra and Brisbane are rolling at the moment. So
Illawarra want to win, and you never know with Brisbane as well now.
Yeah. It's going to make it very interesting.
Like I said, if New Zealand somehow don't make it and both Melbourne teams make it, what is wrong? that should not happen. Like, that... Ugh.
Yeah. But yeah, you look at the remaining games, they got quite a few games left, to be honest, the Breakers. So really anything could happen. But they play Illawarra. Sydney would be a tough one in Sydney, but they play Brisbane, Melbourne, Illawarra, Brisbane. So they play Illawarra and Brisbane twice.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think. So realistically, they should be finishing third, maybe even second. But look, you never know. You never know at the NBL. And
you know what, for the most games, because of that COVID thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Happened.
So they're playing twice every round now. So they've got six games in the next 3 weeks. So
it's good for fantasy players, not good for the players themselves.
Look, I don't think I personally, I'm done with fantasy, but I'm not sure about you, Jeff, but like I'll make trades, but I'm not invested in.
Some off-court news. Nick Kyrgios came over, became the co-owner of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. What were your
That's
guys
a great basketball team. You know, you got John Wall, Exum, Kyrgios.
Good ownership
Debo,
there.
Harrington. Jeez.
Sucks that he's not at the Australian Open this year due to injury. But, Jackson, what do you make of it? A lot of people, especially United fans, are saying, oh, that ruins their team. I may not support... Well, Phoenix fans even thought, oh, I don't know if I like this team anymore.
Well, here's the thing. When Kyrgios is invested in something, it goes extremely well. And I think Kyrgios is invested in this. And
great investment. It's a real perfect investment.
I think he's you know, going to profit a whole lot out of this when he eventually sells his share in like a couple decades. Hopefully he stays on for that long. But But he is the type of guy, when he's invested and committed to something, he excels extremely well. And when he isn't, he, you know, he goes out round one in a open or whatever. But
it's good. It's perfect.
It is.
Well, actually, it's my guy, in my opinion. Like, I know people give him crap, but that documentary that came out about the test, he's not that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of people overestimating it, saying this is the end of the Phoenix, terrible move. But this is probably a genuine good owner, Australian owner that knows the NBL quite well.
Australia-based as well, basketball. Which is what they need.
And he is Australian-based.
And he's not going to do, like, only the major tournaments. He won't do, like, any small tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll be in Australia a lot. So he's a great owner, knows the NBL pretty well, and he's a global name that a lot of people know. So,
well, speaking of owners, Romy was in the building yesterday.
He was.
Yeah.
Nick might be at the game on Sunday. I don't know. I don't have any inside word. But if he is, it's gonna go.
That'd be interesting. If curious,
there might be a booze. There might be a lot of cheers. I don't know, but
should be cheers, in my opinion. But
anyway.
Also, Bawali Bayless. He was, this was early in the week, he was advised by the Kings to take a paid leave of absence for the rest of the season. Obviously, we can't assume what has happened at all, but his spot on the roster won't be filled. But yeah,
well, you can't, because the play
went
4-5
finals. You don't know what's happened here, but let's hope everyone's fine and well. I think just this season, but he's not contracted for next year. So, interesting stuff. But yeah, safe to not assume anything, and hopefully everything's all right. But he's a great young player, and hopefully we still see him in the NBL eventually, and at the Sydney Kings again in his hometown team. But hopefully nothing too bad happened. Hot take of the week. Who wants to go first?
You can go, Jackson, since you were raving.
Yeah, you got a big one. Start us off with okay. Game, Jackson.
You were raving it, I reckon.
Tayshaun Thomas has been the best big man in the league for the last month. I've got stats to back this up.
No, I disagree.
There's a guy called Marcus Lee.
But... yeah, Marcus Lee by Amar.
Right, okay. So,
what like, is I, one, I can two, see, three, I can see four, where you're coming five, from.
Six. Yeah.
I see where you're coming from, but in terms of output, I think Marcus is
just... yeah, Marcus Lee, 100%.
Right, so within the last 8 games... not including the last one because Spatial Jam hasn't updated. He is averaging 17.9 points, which is the 7th most in the league. And he is averaging 7.8 rebounds, which is far more than what he was doing before. And he, you know, three assists. The next best scorer out of big men is Robert Franks with 17.7. And then if you want to go down, Pinder's on in that time span hasn't played that much. Like Sam Froling is bottom of the table. Then you get down to Xavier Cooks with 16.4 and 7.6 rebounds, which is equal to Thomas.
Did I tell you the stats of Marcus Lee last week, Jackson? Did you forget those stats? From December 10th, he's number one in net rating, number one in offensive rating, number one in defensive rating, number one in blocks percentage, number one in offensive rebound percentage. In all
yeah,
of
but
the
where are the actual 10th. Numbers? Where are the points? Where are the actual rebounds? Where are the assists? Where are the blocks?
It's not all about points and assists. It's not all about that. Either way, I think he's been averaging.
Like I agree, Thomas has got better. I do agree.
Yeah,
that. Thomas has.
But
got
I don't think he's been as good as Marcus Lee, in my opinion.
It's a Melbourne, right.
But that's a good hot
guys.
Take. But there's a good there you go. Good hot take. We disagree. Me. Yeah. I say that the Hawks are a better team than Adelaide right now. I don't know if that's Ooh. Much of a hot take, but you look at it, if you're a casual NBL fan, you think I'm crazy. Generally thinking that Illawarra have lost the last 11 and Adelaide are a stacked team that has been an NBA team. But I think Illawarra, if they played, Illawarra and Adelaide played right now at the Wynn Entertainment Centre tonight, Illawarra would win by a decent margin.
Decent margin, jeez.
5 to 10 points. So, yeah, that's my hot take. I just think they're more well-oiled, is the right terminology there, than the Adelaide 36ers. I don't think they would lose by Perth in that game by 30-odd. So, yeah. And?
Mango, my Boy Mango, double-double, and three blocks in both games this week.
He's been good. He's been good this past weekend.
So, double-double, three blocks. I think
Jacobus was playing him over Froling at times.
He was, because Froling wasn't playing well.
Well, Froling was in middle game. One stage two, yeah, but like...
Yeah, so...
So double-double and three blocks for both games. Not just one, both.
Hopefully he stays in the NBL next year. Hopefully,
I reckon he will. I don't reckon he'll be
here. He's shown some great things at times. So he'd be a hot property, I hope, as a backup center. Quick five. Will Duop Reef return to the Hawks next season?
Yes.
Yes.
Who had the better open-air game, Melbourne or Perth?
The Melbourne game was better because it was close. But
who had the better open air game? Who did it better?
Because of the atmosphere. I've heard great things about it.
It just looks better, in my opinion.
Who'd you say, Ian?
Perth. I went to the Melbourne one, but I think Perth it's something different over there.
Are the blackout Taipans jerseys the best jerseys ever?
Yes.
Ever? Full stop.
They do it for a great cause too, I'm pretty sure. They donate money to, I can't remember the charity.
I wouldn't say ever. Charity,
but they do it for a good cause.
This season, yes.
They have the best Taipans jerseys at least.
Nah, their blue ones were good. Their blue ones are, I reckon, better than the black ones.
But these blackout jerseys, they actually, like, the money, like, they
well, this year's blackout wasn't as bad as, it wasn't as black as last year's one. Like, last year was completely, like, there was no orange.
Now, I know this is this guy's first season, but does Brady Manick, should he be in the talk for most improved player?
In terms of what?
What?
In winning the award.
Is it like a Craig
Graham? I know it's his first year. I know it's his first year. But...
No. What? No? What? He hasn't even played another season in this league.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I know it's his first year.
Are you saying like the G League most improved terms, or are you saying in general?
Well, I mean, kind of play. What if a player, you know, started off the season averaging 5 points and then went on to average 24 the next 12 games?
Yeah, but it's a season by season thing.
Is it?
Not?
Is it? Is that in the rule book?
I thought it is.
Is it in the rule book? I don't think so. Can Brady Manick can win most improved? He can.
Evan, you're going to have to tweet this out.
Evan, please tell me. Have you had your medication this week? Please.
It's a heat stroke. It's not the medication.
Has he at least improved this season?
Yes, he has improved.
He has improved over time, yes. But he will win the award.
I don't think he'll win it. I don't think he'll win it. But I think he should be in contention for it. Top five, top 10.
Top 10. That's half the league. Most improves.
All right, we'll move on. All right, you guys.
Oh, is that the lot? You got one more.
How many players stay with Brisbane next season?
Well, it's two contracted. Five.
But those Sobey and Baines could still leave. Five?
I'll go with the names. Baines, Sobey, Kadee, Mitchell, Gak. Even though I didn't have Gak in my depth chart.
Five, I'd say.
Still the same, yeah. All right.
Tips
this week. Let's finish this off quickly. Tassie Phoenix.
Next question,
Tassie. Well, you don't want to skim past this. We're not skimming past any Tassie this week. I'll tell you what. But
if Tassie don't win, Tassie back in.
New Zealand, Illawarra in New Zealand.
No Brown. New Zealand should win.
New Zealand should win.
Brisbane, Adelaide in Brisbane.
Brisbane. Right, in Brisbane, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, Brisbane.
All right.
Adelaide bounce back.
Adelaide have to win this one, so I'll go Adelaide. Friday, Cairns, Tassie in Cairns. Tough one.
Because it's in Cairns and they haven't played a game yet.
Cairns and Pinder might be back.
Yeah, Cairns, I think they're in some fine.
I feel like Pinder should come off the bench when he's back. Just got to put it out there.
Perth, Sydney in Perth.
Ooh. Perth.
My friend Adam Westhout said to me before the game against the Breakers that Perth are going 8-0, so I'm going Perth.
I'm going Sydney. Sydney are too tough to beat at the moment. Illawarra Brisbane.
The grudge match.
The mid-off.
Illawarra.
Where's it played in?
Illawarra.
The Gong or Brisbane?
Yeah, Illawarra. It's in Wollongong.
Hawks.
Yeah, say Hawks as well. Adelaide, Melbourne in Adelaide. Game of the round.
Melbourne.
Game of the round. Yeah, Adelaide.
I think Adelaide will bounce back this weekend.
But I'm going to say Sydney Perth is a game of the
no,
round.
No, what am I saying, man?
No, you said Melbourne. No, you wanted Melbourne to win.
I'm I know. I said literally Melbourne 5 minutes ago games. That Melbourne will win both, and now I've tipped Adelaide. My mind is just not here at the moment.
My mind's telling me yes.
Melbourne.
My body.
Phoenix, Perth in, at the
Montana Hospital Center. Yes.
Perth.
I say Perth as well.
I'm going to go Perth. We've gone against Phoenix. They're going to win both
and
games down.
Sydney, New Zealand in the Sydney.
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 I say Sydney as well. That will do for another episode of the NBL News Podcast. And by the end of next week, we'll see how stupid we were this week, and we'll see how much the ladder has changed and see which teams are out of form. But thank
stay
you guys
tuned to the post as well.
Yeah, it'll be
yes,
a big post. But see you guys next week.